Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Welcome everyone, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly, and I want to thank you all for listening out there. I've been going scattered about, going one week yes, one week no. I apologize for that, but I'm in the midst of some moving things, moving locations, so next week or so I may have another repeat of Slyke. So I was in Las Vegas actually last week, taking care of some old business. I'll probably have to re-go back there again. But I want to wish everybody out there who is listening or will be listening, Happy Water Dragon New Year. This is going to be a glorious, glorious New Year for everyone. It's all in retrospect. There is going to be masses of change, some subtle, some more less subtle. Some people will be welcoming the change and others, you know, unfortunately won't. Change is always for meant for a reason, and there's always a perfect reason for everything that happens. But I want to get into Arian. It was sort of funny how I decided to get into this today's subject, and I was thinking about this actually while I was in Vegas before I went there last week, and I go, I gotta do something about this love thing. As you all know, I've been lately for about 6 months, and if you don't know, I have been doing consulting, readings, you know. And when I do those, a lot of times I've had several, of course, you know, everybody asks about how's my economy, what's my money situation, my job, my career, my health, and of course my love life. That's like 80-90%. And I often find it unique about when I talk to individuals, and more so with women and actually in general. When we talk about love issues, and it seems also it's sad, but ironically, I think there's a propensity of an illusion of love that has been gone for thousands of years, but it's even more emasculated, if I want to call it that. Or actually, more, that's not the wrong word. More Disney-like made into what love is in a version of romanticized or whatever, and it's been going for thousands of years. And the same token, you know, irony is that on the reverse level with men as well. And I think, so that's why I brought it up. And I remember there was a movie I saw a while back, and I remember, if you ever watched it, it was great, 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 great movie by Luc Besson, with called Fifth Element. If any of you haven't seen it, definitely go see it. It's a great, it's an old movie, but I love it. So, and anyway, there's a scene in it at the very end. Oh, not giving away the end though, but it is, I think, a real important scene, because there's Lulu, who's like the Fifth Element. Now I gave it away. And she's sort of saving the world, but and they didn't know what would be the cause to save humanity. And then, and you think about, and I never realized, you think about in that whole movie, what was the theme of it at the very end, and it was all about love. And here she was to protect the world. Something about her, she was sent by the aliens and to help save the world against the dark world, darkness that's engulfing the world, that's going to take over the world. And how was she can protect? She said, I don't know love. What is love? I'm here to protect. And then Bruce Willis says, I'm love. And, you know, and I'm here to be with you. I love you. And then what is it? It was the connection. And out of that came to being what it was. And it, if you think about it, I remember seeing that. That was really telling a very descriptive element of love. Then there's another movie, of course, I remember it was with the alien movie, now it scattered my mind here, but it dealt with Heschel the tree and how we're all connected, the tree of life. And it was another extraterrestrial relationship. My mind went blank on the name of that movie now, but the essence of what I was trying to get into is what I think people get lost to, what terms of what love is. And so, I found this as being consistent with in talks and greetings. Of course, it's all around us. So, you know, what is really love? I mean, this has been a question for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, there's been books and novels and movies and songs and poems and play. And I mean, there's been so much written about it. It's unreal. So much spoke about it, sing about love. The irony is that love has been so romanticized in such a way, it has literally created an illusion on top of illusion of what we expect love to be. We've actually created the idea to fall in love, the idea of falling in love, as to being what love really is. So a lot of times we... and everybody concluded, put their hands up, they fall in love with the idea of being in love. So you love with the potentiality of love because you're loving the idea of love instead of what love really is. Unfortunately, this has actually been carried away through our culture, and it's been going on for millennia, but I mean, in particularly the United States, for example. And I've seen this cascaded across the Western Hemisphere, and it's a different, actually, in the Middle East, because they're even worse. They're more on a conditional base of love. They have no clue what love is, to a large extent, I see, because they're totally on a conditional basis, which exemplifies why they have the propensity of violence and separation, because actually it is the opposite. When people are more feeling the epitome of love, there is actually a deeper connection, and less violence will happen within that society, and less fear will be brought on. But Cinderella and Snow White complex, that's often found within, you know, saving the knight in the white shining armor, blah, 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 come save the day. That's actually been romanticized to such an extent that has been embedded in people's mentality. Like what women want this guy to come and be the one to save them? The one, it's always the one. Who is the one I'm going to be with? The one for the rest of my life? Things are put into a limitation. I remember somebody once said, actually it was Bashar said, humanity are the masters of limitation. And that's so true. So we limit ourselves to what love really is, because we've made up these limited ideologies of what that is. instead of going to the realities of what love really is. We have actually turned love into some sort of contract, whether it's both verbal or written, when in reality, a contract or conditional love is not love at all. It's basically conditions. It is, and on this point, in fact. Now, you may have a relationship, there's a big difference, a relationship based upon conditions. That's what you have. That's not love. You have a relationship, which is actually absent of love, but based, if it's based upon conditions, because there's real love is unconditional, then you got to realize the reverse of that. And then what I mean is, a lot of, I find if you place the conditions, let's say example, I'll give you, if a woman wants a guy who who's a doctor or a lawyer or has some financial well-being, and, you know, throws a scorecard. Now, what she's asking is not really conditional. It's not really love. That's not really, she's looking for a relationship. There's a big difference. She's not showing any love for that person as who they really are. She's looking for, like, I'm hiring a baseball player to be on my baseball team or a football player to be my quarterback. Now, here's the karma thing. For every action, there's a reaction. Now, if you make those conditions and put that out to the universe that this is the contract that you want from with this person, likewise, the reverse happens. A guy wants, in his mind or whatever, have conditions for what he wants. He will want somebody who is, let's say, a hot girl who's looking, model looking, 20 years old, for example, or whatever you look like at that time, and be sexually satisfying to the whatever he wants. And so on and so on and so on and so on, right? And then what happens is, let's say they're together and then they're 20s. And then 10, 15 years go by and she's no longer that same person 10 years from now. And then the girl is all worried out that this condition relationship, she hasn't fulfilled the condition relationship that he had. Yeah, hers was, it hurts. For him, and he's still the law doctor or lawyer, but the conditions that she was when she was 10 years ago aren't the same, because now she's not the same 20-year-old. So what he's going to look for another version of you or her. So that's called karma, and it's based upon because you are not in a loving relationship. You are in a conditional relationship based upon conditions. Conditions go two ways, a two-way street in a condition, the relationship. Now, there are things a relationship should have integrity. That's sort of a backbone of anything. But that's not really, that's based upon having integrity. And that's just a backbone of between two people having trust upon each other and so, not to lie and cheat and blah, blah, blah. That's not the same thing. That's actually more of to be with each other through thick and thin. Those are much like vows as opposed to conditions. Conditions, what I'm talking about is when you look for a guy, and I ask people, I says, what do you love about this person? Or do you love the person? It's saying, the first thing that tells me right away that they don't love him is they'll say, oh, I love him because he's this, and this. And that told me, wow, you love him not for who all. If the person had said, "I love him for who or for he or she is," I don't know why. Then I go, wow, she really does love him. When they tell me, "Oh, I love him because of this, and this," that told me right away they don't really love him for who they are. They love him for what the things they do. So there's like, so they're more in love with a kind of a relationship that they possibly have. So that's not real love. That falls into conditional love, which is not real love. Now, that's where it falls baseless. Now we have found, we all fall in love. We often find we fall in love with a love without really ever understanding what love is. We fall in with the idea of love. That's what's falling in love with. So I do say we need to understand love. And in order to understand, we must understand ourselves, because that's the propensity of love. We must, and I we must, again, we must understand who we are in order to understand love. So, though, and I have said this, we must be able to love ourselves, and you've probably heard me and other people have said, well, you must learn to love yourselves before you can truly love others. This is absolutely true. But this in itself does not still explain the necessity of love. So, I think I have to go back again and explain what I have some information about what love is. But before I do, we have to understand ourselves. And I did, I played a show way back when, maybe earlier in the summer, last summer. So I may be reiterating some things here, and I apologize for it, but it was from a prior show, and I think it's more relevant now, so that it's sort of hard to explain something unless you understand something else that has the foundation of it, which is us. So within the universe, within our universe, and its infinite capacity, it is really important to understand before... understand all these concepts before, and I will elaborate. Concepts are concepts, and there are explanations within the finite language. And I'm saying this because so people don't get lost, and I hope you don't while I'm explaining this. When we explain things in our finite language in itself, which is limited, which is with its perceived notions and perspectives, concepts and reality are like water. So imagine the water, its concept while I'm explaining this is like fluid water running around. They flow and they move. And they form in all situations and freeze and chill and so on and so on, boil, affecting all other things without any limitations. So as I start explaining further about what I'm about to get into, you'll have a better understanding. I felt it was just really important explaining you the concept of reality, the reality of concepts, and what it is before I go further in any explanations. And I hope you understood that without the tongue tying or get lost. But the description of explanations, of the concept of explanations, where you have an experience, something you wish to explain. So if I were to explain something in scientific or esoteric, they are both maybe dependent somewhere on perhaps an experience. Like if you eat an apple, you experience that. So when you talk about love, for example, you talk about the experience of the love that you had. Remember, now I just said experience of love. Keep that in your mind. Hence, the love is a concept, a description of relating to an experience of wisdom, understanding. It's an experience of a description. Either way, it is beholden to somewhere between ourselves within our experience. So, as the late, great Jimi Hendrix went, are you experienced? Now, in reality, as some would say, we are like all matter, for example, and we are all matter with air, you know, space. Me equals mc squared, meaning we're just nothing but energy. You are times the constant squared. You are pure energy. You're atoms, your physical being, is nothing but energy. Your spiritual soul is nothing more than energy. Energy is a vibration. It is moving and flowing. You can't draw a line where energy stops and where it ends, can you? It's all over the place. It constantly changes and moves about. Now you see yourself visually within your body, but there is a propensity of energy even beyond the physical norm that you normally see, and we know that for as a fact, for example. Everything in the universe in reality is merely energy within space. And this, of course, is explained with Einstein's relativity explanation. You are energy. Your cells are made up of atoms, which are energy. There's unlimited dimensions of energy from gravitational, electronic, thermal, mechanical, kinetic, even dark energy. This is the energy I was perpetuating that's even around us. There's spiritual energy that even the esoteric, there's of course nuclear, but there's even esoteric energy, which is also unlimited. in its concept, in its understandings, and we have yet to understand fully because we have problems of understanding ourselves in reality. The universe is, in fact, infinite, or even beyond the infinite. All energy exists, and it cannot be destroyed, or it can only be converted. You, your soul, for example, you don't wither away and just simply vanish. Your energy, you just convert from one form to another. This is the reality. You are an energy, a physical energy, and a spiritual energy. This is what it is meant, spiritual esoteric forms. You can never be destroyed or die in the capacity to cease to exist. You will always exist in one form or another. You are energy. And what is inner than energy? Energy, it's like a verb. It is at a constant change, a constant movement. It is no matter in what form it is consistently moving. It is always move and movement. And affecting the movement of other energy in other shapes and form. Get it? You're an energy. Your boyfriend or girlfriend is an energy. And that energy affects that energy. And that energy affects another energy. We all are energy that affects each other. Is there a connection with the energy? Yes, there is. This I will elaborate on. Gee, could that be love? Now, the energy in any shape or form is also very much your soul. Within the holy scriptures of the Zohar and the books of light, the universe was created out of utterances, or correctly, utterances, sound meaning movement, or frequency of movement. This is actually a hint how the universe was created, and this is also found within Taoism and I Ching, which is I Ching is literally means the world of change that we live in. Everything's change. But it also gives you understanding, let's say in Hebrew, why the words, all roots of Hebrew are actually a verb. Everything is a verb, meaning everything is our movement. It's action. You are not a noun, you're a verb actually. All things are verbs. Everything around us, the universe, is a verb. This is giving you a hint on why that is. If everything is a verb, that means everything's in action. It gives you the identity and understanding that nothing is finite. Actually, everything's infinite since it's constant movement. It's never in the same motion. The electrons, they came in. You can't determine where the electron's flying around because it's in movement. It's approximation where that might be. Guess. Approximation, I guess. It is a quantum where that atom is. Everything is approximation within quantum physics. Now, there are references in Kabbalistic references in the Torah, metaphorically being that the tongue of God, for example, or what the universe was created and continually exists by the manifestation and continuing of utterances. That means it's out of sound. Things are created out of sound. This is out of, which is not out of vision or finite. It's a multi-universe that we live in. The understanding that our universe is, in fact, infinite in its every shape form. It is a verb. I reiterate, a verb. It is energy. Within physics today, there is a greater understanding that we and all exist within our universe, and nothing more a conglomerate of energy, as I reiterate again. Keep on re-emphasizing this because I'm trying to pound this into your brains, that we are a multifaceted dimensions within of energy, within multi-dimensions of energy within our universe. Hence, we are all nothing but a verb. So I reiterate, we are, in fact, what we see, or what we really are, or what is our inner universe. Based upon our preconceived notions of Newtonian logic, we would say that we and the universe are merely objects. But in reality, we know that's not the case. It is our perceived illusion that we have assumed that we are like machine parts. This is based upon what? Our sight? Our sight is limited. You don't see energy, can you? No. Actually, you do, but we can't. You see light coming toward you, but when you identify it, you placed understanding as being an object. In fact, within the universe, our whole understanding, the real understanding of biology, for example, molecular biology, we are more than just simple mechanical parts. We are all molecules of atoms, space, assuming there is such a space, thing of space. In the reality of our making, we are, as everything else is in the universe, a matter of all things, all elements, just energy. That's where we're basically a conglomerate of energy. Again, what is the universe and what are we? We are simply energy. Now you're going, why are you getting all this stuff about energy over and over again? Because if you don't understand that we are all nothing energy, you'll then have understanding what and why we love. We are all constant of movement and energy. This includes our very souls and even our higher selves. We, in fact, are just a verb. In reality, since we are nothing more than energy pulsating at a multi-frequency, with a constant of movement, of changing, adapting, adjusting, thinking and processing, dreaming, breathing, loving, feeling a quantum variable, then we are not a noun at all. We are, in fact, a verb. As energy, we connect to our energy. This connection, this experience is our love. What did I just say? As our energy, we connect to other energy. This connection is love. When we connect to who we are, that's love. Wait a second, I'm lost here. Did I just say something? I should have probably said that in the beginning. No. I was trying to paint the picture to show you see what we really are. When you understand that we are nothing but more of energy, of a constant movement, and seeing how we are, then you sort of go, wait, now you know what love really is. What is compassion? I always say here, why is it so important to have compassion? Compassion is sort of like implementing love, implementing the experience of love. That's why it's put out there. It's actually implementing. It's putting out compassion is reaching out, like reaching out to endeavor the experience of love. Having compassion or empathy for somebody is empathy is relating to somebody, so you're relating to the other person's experience. So therefore, you are creating an action, a connection. That very connection. Is love. So, when we connect to who we are, that's love. When we connect to who we are in reality, that's love. That's self-love. That's grazing your self-worth. When you connect to who and what we are, that experience of, God, now I know who I am, you know, I have that feeling, that's love. When you connect to the universe, or whatever your name you call, Tao, God, Allah, connecting to all the universe, and feeling how we are inseparable, we are actually connected to everything, every element, the God within, the God without, the universe, the multifaceted universe that we're all divinely connected to, that experience is love. Not too complex. When we connect to the earth, Mother Earth, when we see the trees and the animals, what kind of feeling do you get when you see that tree or animal or the ocean? What kind of experience, what do you feel? Feel love. It's really not that complex. I didn't make it Disneyland. I didn't have to put Snow White in there. I haven't even gotten to the romantic part yet. When we connect to each other, that's love. That experience of connection is love. That connection between you and me and other individuals, other souls, other people on this planet. Love. That's love. When a mother connects with her child within her body, the love, the connection, love. The father, the connection, the family, the brother, the sister, the uncles, the cousins, love. That's love, the experience, the connection. When we connect to our friends, love. That experience that you come to a realization of that connection, and you get that euphoria, you've just experienced love because you've experienced the connection. When we connect to our lover, that's love. It is not a surprise that one, when makes love, there is a connection, an insertion. One, I hate, funny feeling saying this, one thing goes in and one thing's like a hole and there's one thing goes in. It's because when the two bodies are connected, love is the connection. It's a physical connection. Didn't have to make a whole 400-page romantic novel out of it. It's really, 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 really simple. So when we connect to our lover, what is it? Love. And of course, you have a euphoria when you feel that connection. I'm in love because you are in the moment of the connection. That's when you are in love. I'm in love with that person. I'm in love with her. Because I'm in that moment. I feel the connection. Now, we often fall in love with the idea of falling in love. That's when we love with the idea of connecting. The idea of connecting. As opposed to loving the connection. We often find we love the potential of the connection. Again, we love the the potential, but that is not the reality of love. We've been askewed. It's okay, you're loving that, you're connecting with the idea. That's connecting with the idea of love. Get it? Every time you do connection, you can put a love next to it. When you connect to something, I connect with that, that's the love. Connecting is experience, it's the action of experience. It is the experience. The reality of the connection as we are is the experience. Since we are but a verb, like I said, we are a verb. A constant movement. And thus, the experience that we're having is part of us since we are a verb. We're experiencing an action. The love, the experience of the reality within our universe. I mean, think about it. If you look into any dogma within in religions, in fact, whether I don't care if it's from Buddhism to Taoism to Hinduism to Islam, Judaism, Christianity, whatever, you will have one single common element amongst all of them. I don't care if they, even in Greek mythology, every single one has one thing in common. Four words. And it's not to go, fuck you. one single thing is in all things, all underlying things. And there's a reason why that's there, because it's been in place to pin us, but we sometimes we divert ourselves from the reality by making more things more complex instead of going back to the simplified understanding of things. It is really, 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 really simple. Love is found in every single dogma and esoteric. Because why? Because love is so important within humanity. Think of every situation, from family to our society. As much as there's discourse amongst humanity, what bonds humanity together? Otherwise, we'd be totally Mad Max. Love. That is what's holding humanity together. Love. Without it, there is no humanity. It dissipates. We become robots, and we cease to exist. Because without love, we cease to experience the connection. We will always be energy, but we will just dissipate from this earth. The universe is always connection. We as souls, we have choice to experience. We are here in our bodies for a reason. To experience. And one of the most important things we'll get into is experience love. It is the very reason you are in your body. To experience this very connection. You've been placed, and you've chosen to place yourself in this area of this vortex of five dimensions, or whatever you want to call it, Earth, three dimensions, whatever names, everybody makes names for it. You've been put in this body, or you co-put yourself, because we always co-create, for a simple thing. To experience love. You've been placed in an area of these five-dimensional illusions to create a sense of separation. Because when you think that there's a separation, and then you go back and experience love, because when you're out of your body, you come to the reality when you're dead that we're all connected. Because then that's the reality. Even though you might be Lord and you take your belief system out there and you may think you're separated, even when some people go, they die, they still bring their belief systems. In reality, they're still just energy connected. But you're put in this body for a reason. You get a sense to re-experience the connection between each other. To re-experience the connection. And out of that experience is a healing factor to it. It is to heal, to remove old karma, and to increase our frequency. It gives us a choice. This is what separates us from the angelic angels, the archangels. We have choice. We have chosen to experience this opportunity. To experience the love, which is our connection. That's why we're in our bodies. Think about it. It is our connection. When you make love, you are connected with that other soul. You are experiencing the physical connection. But you should be feeling a spiritual connection as well. Out of love, there's only one kind of love. That is the unconditional love. You will, of course, always feel a euphoria, because when the energy is being experienced as a divine connection, you get that euphoria because your energy suddenly got that buzz. It went up. It's like you have a tuning fork, and then you're experiencing love, and it goes ding, and it just went higher. You got tapped. And though we fall in love, when we fall in love, it is the cause that we feel the connection of the soul. So when we fall in love, you fall in with the connection. You never really fall out of love, because all what falling out of love in reality is, because you're never really disconnected from the person. It's more of you've decided to create yourself an illusion, or it's sort of an illusion, a state of boundaries of separation, or more correctly, be distancing, of choosing to experience any more connection with that person. That would be the correct way of saying it. I chose to distance myself because I don't want to experience anything more with this individual. So therefore, you've gotten out of love. Perhaps the things that you've experienced with this person may not have been all lovely. So now you've chosen to distance yourself. But love is the connection between you. Love is choosing to feeling that connection. And you choose not to feel that connection anymore. So you're still connected. Get it? When you go and choose to feel the connection, you're choosing love. When you choose that experience, you're choosing to experience love. You're choosing love. And when you do love, it increases your frequency. But in reality, we're always connected. So the experience of the connection is just what it is. You just chose not to experience any further with that soul. Thus, you distance yourself. My late teacher, God bless her soul, Janae St. Clair. I'll never, never, ever forget this. She said this to me just days before she passed away. Love is the only thing that is important. The rest is so trivial. And you know what? Days and days, I'll never ever forget that, what she said to me. And think about it. We often look at so many things in our daily lives. And we look at things at the trivial. We get caught up in our work. We get caught up on financials. We get caught up our daily nonsense. And when you step back and you look at it, it's so trivial. It really is. Really, really is trivial. You got to step back and look at the stupid things people get upset about. You're like, what the fuck? Get real. Because it's not really important. The only thing that's really important is love. I mean, think about it. What is really, really important? So love is the only thing that is important, and I repeat. And the rest is so, so trivial, as Janae St. Clair once said. You know, we've all had our elements of questions of experiencing love. But love is not just to the dress of us as individuals. It is also macro. It is our society. Love is the very element where our experience, our healing process, our cleaning of karma exists. It is the very element that raises our vibration. It expands from individual to all humanity. We are love. We are all connected. This is why I know people who constantly impart love to each other. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love your sister and brothers. We're all brothers and sisters. You always hear that love. You hear all the songs, love, the connection. Why is it consistently being sung and sang and recorded? You don't do it because we would rather be feel separated, because we allow ourselves to be feeling separated. Even within dogmas of religion, it's us against them. They're Jews, they're Christians, they're Muslims, they're Shiite, they're Sunni, they're Buddhists, they're black, they're white, they're Catholic. We always make walls of separations. These separations are the illusions, the opposite of what love is. It's ironic when I find organized religions proposing the irony of separation, but in reality, what is God? If you propose God to be a separation, then you've fallen within non-love. That is the reality. If you're proposing something in a ideologue or dogma that shows any type of separation or proposition of stuff, I hate to say that's informing of that proposing and proponing, being a proponent, tongue-tied there, proponent, being a proponent of separation. And being a proponent of separation is a proponent which leads to hate. Now, we are all individuals. We all have our many idiosyncrasies, our uniqueness. We're like snowflakes. That has got to be embellished so much. We're not cookie cutters here. We're not pieces of machine parts. We're all individual, unique, with our own unique experiences. That's what makes us so grand. We're not boring. Probably why a lot of extraterrestrials like watching us, because we're like constant changing. We're vibrating with constant change. But we have the choice to choose our experience, the choice is to love. And to love is to connecting. This is the choice between humanity. This, I'm saying this indeed within all aspects. This is what's needed within all societies. And I'll start to say it just how it is in the Middle East. If you have a society or religion that demonstrates a hatred to another people in any way, shape, or form, you are not of God and you are not of love. You're not of Allah. That's not love. Extending your arm and becoming connected with the others, that is love. That is experiencing the love and experience of God. Love, the connection of God. You are distancing yourself from Allah, from God, when you choose not to love and hate instead. Or teach your children to hate. Like putting strap-on bombs or anything source, or hate them, or call them pigs or donkeys. That is not God. That was the opposite. That's not Allah, but the opposite. If you propose that those who do not believe your way or their way, their or the highway, that you're the only way, you go to hell, and you're sort of less, they're less than you. What is that? You making them less or separate from you? That is not love. That's not God. Love of God is connecting with all things, including all souls. Experiencing, like I said, the connection to every person. We are all connected. Love. Experience it. If I go to the Far East or any place between men and women, women are not less than men and shouldn't be separated and made lessened. The separation is opposite of love and opposite of God. God is connecting to all things. God is everything in all around us, our universe. It is God is the love, the Hava, the Ba. It is love. There was a thing that I'm going to close with now. But before I do, I just wanted to say, most people that I find, and this is what I find within humanity, this is why I look at, I guess, the good points of humanity. When you look at the individual as opposed to what's being taught or shoved down the individual and humanity at large, love is in the essence of humanity. It is what will save humanity. Just like in the movie Fifth Element, the universe cannot protect you if you don't know what love is. Love is your connection. Love is experiencing connection. It is a reason why, ultimately, why you're in your body. To learn to love. Love yourself. Love your those around you. Love Earth. Love all things unconditionally. And that experience of unconditional love, because that's your experiencing, you're choosing the experience, is choosing the divine connection. And once you see the connection, you become into the reality and see ever more the reality of the universe. Your perception has just increased to understanding even more of the universe. You have raised your consciousness. You have raised your frequency as energy. You have become what some would say a Buddha, enlightened. Christians was called Christ-like. Jews would be, say, enlightened. Muslims would say enlightened. What is enlightenment? Enlightenment is coming to the realization of our connection, love. So I will say this, as Janae Sinclair had once said, love is so important. It is the only thing that's important. The rest is so trivial. And I close now with a famous song by none other than John Lennon. And I'll repeat his words, so bear in mind. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You would say, or you may say, I am a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Didn't even have to mention the word love. Love is the connection. And as Jimi Hendrix would say, are you experienced? And I would say, love is the experience of your connection. So with that, I will say to all of you, again, Happy New Year. Happy Water Dragon New Year. I wish you all a very healthy, prosperous New Year. And with that, I thank you all for listening. God bless you all, and with that, love to you all, love and light, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. God bless y'all, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.